You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We welcome you in. It is Saturday afternoon here on 98.7 ESPN. Hopefully, maybe you're on your way to a golf course or maybe on your way home. Maybe you're doing the honey-do list because things are opening up. Today, I took a spin class, which I'm really excited about here in Hoboken. There's a spin facility that's offering spinning classes outside. If you're scared, say you're scared. I'm telling you, I'm scared. I won't go inside. I walked to it, and on my way home, I passed a number of boutique and salons, and everybody's getting their hair did. Have you gotten your fade done again, Ty?
Oh, yes. For the first time in what? 3 months?
Right?
Yes. April, May, June. Yep. Three and a half months.
You feel like a human again.
I feel brand new.
Yeah,
I got my hair did.
Well, I got my hair cut this week. But I went to my hairstylist. Her name is Belacy. She's one of my best friends. And, you know, she cut my hair with a mask on. I was wearing a mask and we did it outside. She's like little back patio. Listen, this is our life right now, right? Like this is our reality. I find it interesting. A lot to get to today, right? There's so much going on. So much. I don't even know where to begin. We are going to begin with Major League Baseball. I do want to dive into some of the specifics, pertaining to Major League Baseball and how the season is hopefully, going to go as smoothly as possible. Look, the PGA Tour is happening right now, which by the way, if you recall, last week I started the show. If you recall, wait a minute, Ty, you weren't with me last week, right? I had a later show because of the Belmont.
That is
and
correct.
So Nikki produced. So last week I really ripped into the PGA Tour because I did not like the way that the PGA Tour was handling the Nick Watney situation. Nick Watney, PGA Tour player, woke up on a Friday morning and was not feeling well on top of the fact that he had a whoop band. If you don't know what a whoop band is, it's something that a number of the tour players sleep with. It monitors your sleeping habits and it helps with your breathing and respiratory. And it just so happened it helps notify you if possibly you are starting to come down with COVID-19. Very similar to the Aura ring, and I hope I'm pronouncing that properly, Ty, that NBA players are expected to wear once they get to Orlando and they're in that bubble. And it's supposed to it assesses your normal rhythm, your normal body rhythm. And because I have a few friends who have purchased the ring and they have it themselves. So it takes like 3 or 4 days to like register like your normal body habit. And then from there, if, you know, you have a fever, if you're having respiratory issues, it kind of notifies you like, hey, red flag, something's not right here. And what's going on very well could be COVID-19. So let's get it checked out. Anyway, so that happened with Nick Watney, and he on Friday morning, he ended up going to the club. They tested him. And while they were waiting for the test results, they let him go to the practice range. He hung out with Brooks Koepka in the parking lot. Just so happens this week, Brooks Koepka, who I had chosen, I picked my analysis, my handicapping for this tournament up in Connecticut, the Travelers, which is taking place right now. I had Brooks Koepka winning, but he pulled out because his caddy came down with COVID-19. So he pulled out. Graham McDowell's caddy came down with COVID-19. He pulled out. Webb Simpson, apparently a family member from Webb Simpson, has contracted COVID-19. So he pulled out, yada, yada, yada. So I ripped the PGA Tour for the way that they handled it. I don't know about you, but if I think that I have COVID-19, like, I'm not going to go out to a driving range. I'm not going to, you know, chat it up with Brooks Koepka in the parking lot. But today, I do commend the PGA Tour. And again, listen, like, we're all learning here. Right? Like, we're all learning. This is all new. No one's really been down this path before. And there's gonna be mistakes. And that's unfortunate that there's gonna be mistakes because this is such a serious illness. Right? Like, it's a pandemic. You can't afford mistakes. but in reality, there will be. And so Jason Day, I guess, woke up this morning, what I was reading prior to coming on today. Jason Day, professional, one of the top professional golfers, woke up this morning and didn't feel 100%. I don't know if he wears a Whoop band, if that had something to do with it. So he went in to get tested. His tee time was pushed back. It was either his tee time was at 9:15 and it was pushed back, or his tee time was really early and it was pushed back to 9:15. Anyway, what the tour did is they said, okay, you know what? We're going to let you go and we're going to let you play the course solo. So I commend the PGA Tour for doing that, because again, I think they really dropped the ball with Nick Watney last week. And so, Jason Day has been playing solo. But how about this? Could you imagine, Ty, imagine out there, like, I don't know if you've ever you switch insurance companies and you get tested for HIV. This was like years ago, right? When like HIV and AIDS was really on the forefront and, it was a huge concern. And so you switch insurance companies and like before you were insured, like you had to get tested. You had to be negative for HIV and AIDS. And I was pretty confident like that I didn't have it, but you still don't know. You get tested. You don't get the results back for like 3 days. I was a basket case, right? Like I'm pretty confident I wasn't HIV positive, but you never know. Like I can't imagine. I share that story with you just to say, like, I can't imagine Jason Day going in this morning, getting tested for COVID-19 and then having to go play on the PGA Tour. Are you kidding me? Could you imagine?
Yeah, that's nuts.
I mean, like golf, you know, golf is one of the most mental sports out there. You know, like I don't even check myself when I'm out there. I can't even check my cell phone. Like if I get a text message that's annoying or I get an email that's annoying, my game's shut. So especially if, you know, I'm my goal is to break 80. If I make the turn and I'm anywhere between 38 and 40, man, I'm putting my cell phone away. Like I won't even look at my cell phone, let alone Jason Day's out there playing, teeing it up, trying to win some money, trying to score, trying to stay at the top of the leaderboard while he's waiting for a test result from COVID-19. It's just wild to me. It really is. It's just absolutely wild. But, you know, it's a process, not just for the PGA Tour, but it's going to be a process for Major League Baseball. It's going to be a process for the NBA. Once the NFL gets started again. So, I think we should dive into it because there's a lot of topics to get to, because now with Major League Baseball in the works, 1800 players, and we've got a timeline. Opening day is July 23rd or 24th, depending on your team. The Yankees, as we know, and the Mets, their spring training is going to happen at their facilities here in New York. Which is really going to be interesting because keep in mind, a lot of players are coming from other states. And Cuomo came out this week and said, oh, you come to New York and now, how wild is this, Ty? Like New York and New Jersey, we're the safe haven now. You know, what, 2-3 months ago, you know, we were the petri dish of the United States. I was getting calls from friends I haven't heard from in over a decade. Hey, I know you live in New York, thinking of you. I hope you're safe, you know, and now we're the safest place in the country. So Cuomo says, you know, and I understand, because now Texas, Arizona, Florida, these other states, especially the southern states with great weather where a lot of the Major League Baseball players are, now they're the hot spots. And we anticipated this. This is nothing new. We didn't, you know, this is the way, you know, this is the way that the virus works. You know, it's an ebb and flow. It's a spread. And so players who've been living in Florida and Arizona and Texas that have to come to New York and New Jersey and start, you know, they're kind of behind the eight ball in regard to the Yankees and Mets. Because what if they have to quarantine for 14 days? That would mean that they would have to arrive here earlier so that they can get into, you know, spring training kind of mentality and activity, like everybody else. But now, unfortunately, it's like, you know, I don't know if the teams are going to reach out to Governor Cuomo and say, hey, listen, can we have an exception here? Obviously, we're going to monitor our players better than the average Joe Schmo individual, yada, yada, yada. Hopefully that's not the case. But from what I understand, that's something that the players are talking to our local government about. So the Yankees and the Mets will be making their way back to New York for spring training, and then opening day is scheduled for July 23rd and 24th. But what I want to do is I want to kind of get into some of the specifics that I find pretty interesting and share them with you. Not sure if you've had the opportunity to kind of really read through with a fine-tooth comb all the particulars that that are going to take place in regard to Major League Baseball and how this season is going to play out. So we'll do that next. Also, you want to jump on board, have a conversation in regard to what's going on. You know, obviously, besides, you know, you got UFC tonight, besides Phil Mickelson making a really great run, which, by the way, just looking at this leaderboard right now, Phil Mickelson, he's even after 11. He's 13 under. Dustin Johnson having a mighty good day today. 8 under through 16. Brendan Todd, 6 under through 12. So you've got Phil Mickelson just 2 shots off the leaderboard at 11. So besides the tour and the Travelers taking place in Connecticut right now in the UFC, really, right, Ty? Like, really, nothing else really sports related happening right now. But, you know, I still think we could spend the next 3 hours having very interesting conversations, about Major League Baseball, the NBA, and what they need to do to make sure that they have their ducks in order, as I like to say, T's crossed, I's dotted, to the best of their ability. And really excited, Rob Dibble is going to join us on the show coming up in about 15 minutes. Former Major League Baseball pitcher, has his own radio show in Connecticut. He was at the Travelers. Actually, I was on his show yesterday. So he's going to pop on board with us to talk some Major League Baseball. I want to get his thoughts as a former Major League Baseball player, how these new rules, how he thinks are going to affect the players. And also, because of the shortened season. That's another thing. You know, 60-game season, 800-919-3776, by the way, is the phone number. You know, I'm curious. You know, you've got the Yankees. They're not favored, but they're close to it. Dodgers are favored to win the World Series. Yankees are second. Houston is third. But, you know, is this going to be a season, if you look back, because it's only 60 games, you know, what's the mentality of Major League Baseball and how they have to approach the season? Like, I had Preston Johnson on our gambling show last night. Week in Wager, it airs from 10 to midnight. And he said the emphasis for sure is going to be on the bullpen. You know, teams that have the best bullpens in Major League Baseball have the advantage right now because of the shortened season. So I do want to get into that, like the strategy and how a shortened season with only 60 games is going to benefit or hurt teams and what teams they might be, whether it's the Yankees or the Mets. We'll get his thoughts on how well he thinks the Yankees and the Mets will do this season, especially their opponents. As we know, you're playing not only obviously teams within your division, but the majority of National League teams you're going to be playing, obviously, for the Mets and the Yankees will be, you know, Atlanta, Miami, the Mets, the Nats, the Phillies, the Rays, Toronto, yada, yada, yada. So we'll get into all that with Dibs coming up in about 15 minutes. But I'm curious, 800-919-3776. Are you as a baseball fan, as a baseball enthusiast, are you looking at this season with an asterisk next to it? Because it's only 60 games. Granted, same diamond for everyone, right? Same situation for everyone. Obviously not a lot of time to plan for the advantage or disadvantage of the philosophy of what will work in a shortened season compared to a regular lengthy, some feel too long of a Major League Baseball season. But will you be looking at this season differently in regard to who they crown as the champion, as the World Series pennant champion? 800-919-3776. And again, when we get back, I want to share with you some interesting details. Like, for example, no sunflower seeds. I'm sorry. Some dudes, I've never played Major League Baseball, but I do play a lot of co-ed softball. Some dudes just can't, like, operate without a pile of sunflower seeds in their mouth. I know it's the little things that matter. We'll dive into all that when we get back. Anita Marks with you on this Saturday afternoon. Ty and Kyrie working the show as well.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We are so craving sport to come back. I'll tell you what, Ty. I know you poo-poo golf, right? Like.
No.
Yes, you do.
No.
Yes, you do.
I think
yes,
that is a misrepresentation of how I feel about golf. Love golf when, I love it when Tiger's in it. I don't particularly care for it when he's not
That's
involved,
different.
But I'll watch it.
It's different. Of course, everybody loves golf when Tiger's
not everybody.
In it.
Everybody. I mean,
my point is, so many people now are watching golf because so many people are gambling on golf because it's the only live sport still around. Like that's active right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love Keith Olbermann. I really do. I pray to God he's so wrong.
Oh, me too.
I pray to God he's so wrong. Cause there's only I don't know. I don't know about you. I mean, I know you produce a lot more shows than shows I host. And, there's just so much COVID-19 conversation one person can have in a lifetime. I want to talk about real sports at some point in time. Hey, let's go to our caller, Joe in Long Island. Joe, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Hi, Anita. Just want to give you some information as far as, major leaguers coming from the South and, talking about quarantining as far as Mets and Yankees hosting spring training in New York. Governor Cuomo has already granted them a waiver that they don't have to quarantine if they're major leaguers.
That's nice. I know that the teams were concerned about that and they wanted to reach out to him. And so that's nice that that's been confirmed.
The other thing, as far as the asterisk.
Wait, Joe, really quick before we get to that, and please don't go anywhere. I'm curious. Here's my question. Okay. How can anyone in New York, in New Jersey, apparently if you come in, let's say I have a friend who's driving up from Florida to see me, right? How do they know? How do you know that? How do you know if somebody's here or has come here from Florida? How do you?
Yeah.
And apparently, if you don't quarantine, there's some, you're going to be penalized, financially hit. How do you monitor that?
Yeah. I don't think we have the manpower to monitor that. I think it will mostly go through airports and hotels, but you're right. If someone's driving up, there's no way to know that.
How do you police that? I think it's next to impossible to police. I don't know what you.
Yeah.
Police are going to be driving around looking for Florida, Arizona, and Texas plates. Pull them over. Ask when they arrive. Whatever.
And the funny thing about it is they wouldn't even specify state names. They gave all these metrics as far as, COVID positives in a state. So they didn't name Florida, Texas, or Arizona.
Yeah, but we know what time it is.
Yeah,
we know what state it is.
Of course.
We know what's going on. If you watch any news circle. All right. Joe, you wanted to comment on my question, 60 game schedule. Are you going to look at this season different for whoever wins the World Series?
Not at all. I think they're all playing under the same schedule as far as number of games. And you go out there and you win. That's it. So whoever is crowned World Series champion this year, they won it under the circumstances they had to win. That's the way I see it. I don't see any records being broken as far as home runs, RBIs, that kind of thing, obviously. I know Michael Kay was talking yesterday about is someone going to hit 400? It's possible, but as far as who wins the World Series, you go out, you win it, you earned it. That's the way I look at it.
Interesting. Joe, thanks for the phone call, and thank you for the update in regard to Cuomo and him notifying, letting the teams know that Major League Baseball players not held in the same regard as those traveling to New York and New Jersey from other states. By the way, we just heard from Keith Olbermann, doubtful about the Major League Baseball season. If it does begin, hopefully it doesn't end until we have crowned a World Series champion. But what would make it? Apparently, and again, reading a lot of the specifics, travel restrictions could potentially derail the season. COVID getting worse. And look, it's pretty bad right now. Let's be honest. You've got a number, like I said, Florida, Arizona, Texas, each and every day, more and more cases. And then what I find really interesting is Rob Manfred said that he could pull the plug on the season if competitive integrity is undermined. So what does that mean? Like, okay, let's say you're into the season and the Yankees need to win a certain number of games to get into the postseason, and then all of a sudden you've got Aaron Judge, Gerrit Cole, Sanchez all come down with COVID-19. And so now, and Chapman, let's say all, like some of your star players, let's say 4 or 5 star players come down with COVID-19. What do you do? You know, that, I mean, these are important and serious conversations. You know, would you classify that as competitive integrity? I would. Ty, wouldn't you? You're a big Yankees fan. You imagine you're going up against
the Astros.
You're going up against the Astros, and you don't. And Gerrit Cole is supposed to pitch. This is like, you got to win this game to get in the World Series. So you had Gerrit Cole. He was about to pitch. Chapman's out. Judge is out. Sanchez is out.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
I think it's more than disappointing. Chances are they lose. Do you classify that as competitive integrity?
I would say that if it's COVID related, where you're being hit so hard, where it really compromises your roster significantly,
it's taken out a number of your top playmakers.
You can't really associate that with a legitimate loss. Now you can be disappointed, you can be devastated, particularly because of what's happened the last, you know, 3-4 years and how you've how your season has ended. Obviously, fans, they're going to be hit hard. But as far as, like, can we label it a disappointing season? Like, is this on Boone and Cashman? No, that's not going to be the conversation. It'll just be, you know, tough luck, because usually it's, you got to get lucky to win a title in any sports, right? You got to have good injury luck. You got to have good luck now as far as escaping, avoiding getting a virus that's hitting the entire country, hitting the entire world. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, like, especially with basketball. Like, you see all the cases in Florida, and I know the NBA has said where they're doing the bubble city is not where we're seeing, you know, all the numbers spike. But could you imagine it's game 7 of the NBA finals and Giannis gets hit with COVID, or LeBron gets hit with COVID?
Done.
Like, what do you do?
Done. Can't win.
It's terrible.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Jamal Adams, and news this week that apparently Jamal Adams has requested for his camp to be able to go out there and try to find a trade deal for the Jets. Teams that he allegedly is interested in being traded to, the Cowboys being one of them. He grew up in the Dallas area, is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. Other teams like the Ravens, the Texans, Kansas City, the Eagles, the 49ers, the Seattle Seahawks, or the Tampa Bay Bucks. Well, who won't want to go play for those teams? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. So as of right now, what do we know? We don't know if the Jets have given or grant permission to the Jamal Adams camp to try to facilitate those trades. What we do know is that Adam Gase, as well as Greg Williams, defensive coordinator, has said that they both want Adams back. So let's listen in. This is Greg Williams talking about, I've got Adams back.
He has to handle his contract. He'll do all that kind of stuff. He'll do those things. But, you know, we always have to have the next man up philosophy. And we've been able to do that. We'll have to address those things later on. But I'm hoping everything goes well. I love coaching him. And I got his back.
Who wouldn't love coaching him? Let's be honest. Jamal Adams is like an extension of a coach on the field. His passion, his enthusiasm, his smarts. He's a leader, not just on the defensive side of the ball, but on the team as well. Here's Adam Gase and him as well communicating that he wants Jamal Adams to stay on the team.
I want Jamal on our team. We got to kind of figure out a way to get to a good place where, you know, we can get him, you know, back in the right spot and ready to go.
I do want to play this clip as well, Ty. I know we didn't discuss this in the break, but Dan Orlovsky on Get Up and him kind of talking about Adams wanting out And could it be because of Adam Gase? Let's listen in.
Well, sometimes there's coaches in the NFL who think they're Bill Belichick when they're not. When it becomes, hey, it's my way or no way. And we've seen this movie a little bit before with Adam Gase. I, like Mike T, know Adam. And we've seen it happen in Miami where good players were sent away because they could not get along with the head coach. Minkah Fitzpatrick and Kenyon Drake. Ryan Tannehill struggled under Adam Gase and all of a sudden becomes one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL last year. So not only are those guys not wanting to play for their coach, but those players are playing better when they leave Adam Gase. And I want to phrase it like this for everybody. Jamal Adams is a young, talented player who's famous, has a ton of money, living in New York City, and he wants out. I mean, that is because of the head coach. That is damning because that is everything every young athlete or NFL, young NFL player wants. Live in an awesome city, have tons of money, be famous because of football, and had your youth. And he wants out. That to me, if I'm Woody Johnson, is a big deal.
That's Dan Orlovsky on Get Up, and he makes an excellent point. You know, we saw how upset Odell Beckham Jr. was when he was traded to the Cleveland Browns. Why? Hey, no disrespect to those who are from Cleveland. My family's originally from Akron. But, you know, talk about you're not in Kansas anymore. So, look, you know, one thing that we've talked about for the past few weeks when it comes to Jamal Adams and him apparently, requesting a trade is, and from a number of reporters who cover the Jets, is that there is a big question mark within the Jets facility and the office whether or not Jamal Adams wants to be here beyond the schedule. I mean, beyond the contract. I understand the contract. Scheduled to make $3.6 million this year, $9.9 million in 2021, which is that fifth year option. And then the team could tag him in 2022. So, but, you know, I think it would be a complete poop show if they let it get to that. I mean, listen, I get that he wants a new deal, but beyond the money, when you look at this Jets team, how confident are you that they're going to be competitive and be competing for a championship anytime soon? This jury's still out for me when it comes to Adam Gase. So, you know, I agree with Dan Orlovsky and our last caller who just called in. Jury's still out for me. I'm not sold. Failed in Miami, came here, granted, Sam Darnold, you know, had mono, which definitely, you know, derailed the season last year. And then this year is going to be all with the COVID-19 and the pandemic. This is another thing I've been talking about. I'm looking at teams this year to do well, not just because of lack of change, but also unbelievable leadership and some of the best head coaches in the NFL. So I'm looking at the Sean Paytons and the Andy Reids and the John Harbaughs of the world and the Bill Belichicks of the world to really lead men in a difficult time. It's not going to be easy. Right? Like, we know this. Like, our lives, it's not like we're living in a pandemic. It's not easy. I'm sure it's going to be extremely difficult to play the sport of football during a pandemic. And I'm not sold that Adam Gase is that guy, especially if you've got players that don't gel with him. No bueno. No bueno. So here's my question. 800-919-3776. If you're a Jets fan and you know that Jamal Adams wants out, Is it the team's best interest to keep him and not allow his camp to go out there and try to facilitate a trade that is going to be worthy for the Jets? Like, I think Jamal Adams is one of the best defensive players in the league. If I'm a part of the Jets, I'm doing everything in my power to try to keep him. Do I feel that he's deserving of a brand new deal, making him the highest paid safety this year? He's deserving, but is that in the best interest of the team in order to win? No, there's a reason why rookies have rookie deals and there's fifth year options and teams are able to tag guys. Because there's a salary cap and, you know, the money men and women need to make the right and best decisions and how to stay under a cap and put together a competitive squad that's going to win. Do you win by paying a safety $20 million a year? No, you don't. it's not the position you play, you pay to win. So this is a big fat onion. I know there's a lot of layers here, but it's really something that Jets fans have to think about. Obviously, you don't want to lose one of the best defensive players in the league, but at the same time, do you want a disgruntled player in your locker room? And I'm not saying that Jamal Adams is a troublemaker. That's not what I'm saying. But do you want that vibe, that feeling? Does he even show up in a pandemic world? Do you think here's something to really think about as we go to break. And Bernie in upstate New York, I see you. I know you want to talk about the tour. I'll get to you. I promise. Here's another thing to think about. In a pandemic world where players are going to be risking a lot to come and play, do you think Jamal Adams shows up if he doesn't get a new deal? So I don't know if he shows up. I don't know if I would show up if I was Jamal Adams, feeling I'm the best safety in the NFL. I want to be paid as such. And it's a pandemic world. I'm going to risk my life for what? For $3.6 million? No, I'm not going to do it. I can see that happening. So would it be worthwhile? Would it be advantageous for the Jets to just because you allow Jamal Adams and his camp to go and try to search for a great trade offer for the Jets, doesn't mean you're signing off on it. Food for thought on a Saturday afternoon.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
With all this talk this week in regard to Jamal Adams and Adam Gase and Greg Williams and the Jets, what would you like to see happen here?
Well, I'm still holding out hope that this relationship is salvageable. Adams wants to be paid. The Jets aren't going to acquiesce to his demands because they simply don't have to, and they have all of the leverage. You know, he's going into year four. They don't have to extend him at all. So I am never going to begrudge a player for wanting to get his money. I know a lot of people have killed him. He's a diva. He's selfish. I would argue he's smart in that you really don't know, you know, what's going to happen in the future, right? So, like, you can go into next year and then snap your knee. The Jets aren't going to pay you. So try to get your money as soon as possible. And if you're not going to get it here, go elsewhere and find someone who's either going to give you your money now or you're going to be able to win and then earn that paycheck next season. I would like for them to keep him. Obviously, he's a great player. You just outlined that. The Jets would be a worse team if he's not on the roster next year. But in the end, he's got to do what's best for him. And if that's going to another team, then all power to him. I'm trying to be a level-headed Jets fan.
No, I hear you. You know, here's another thing. You know, certain players, I should say this, you know, players are motivated by different things. There are players that are motivated by money. There are other players that are motivated by winning. That, you know, granted, we all want to make as much money as possible, but some are willing to sacrifice the amount of money they make in their career, and they very well could, you know, end up, you know, recouping that, whether it's, you know, they're in a bigger city, a better city, so they get more marketing, advertising opportunities. But it just seems to me, and I don't know Jamal Adams very well, I think I've interviewed him one or two times, it just seems to me, and everything that I'm reading and I'm hearing, is that winning a Super Bowl is extremely important to him. And being on a team that's going to give him the best opportunity, especially at the peak and the prime of his career, has value. And I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, money isn't, obviously, you know, you're the best at what you do. You want to be paid as such. But I also, you know, the big motive, especially if he's listing the teams he wants to play for, and you go down that list, you know, those are teams that are going to be in the running to win a Super Bowl this year. And let's be honest, you know, I mean, I think the Jets will be lucky if they win 7 or 8 games this season. I think I'm being very kind there.
Yeah, he shouldn't be criticized, too, for wanting to go to a contending team. You play this game to win a Super Bowl, and especially, like, the shelf life. In all the sports, you could argue the shelf life is, you know, smallest in football because of how violent it is. So if you've got a chance to do that at this point in your career where you're at the peak of your powers, you're not just joining a team and riding the bench. You're at the apex of your career. You've got a chance to go to a contender. Then yes, obviously exercise that right. And if you could get, you know, paid the most money you can, then go to that team. And as a Jets fan, obviously, again, it's going to hurt me. But if I look at this situation objectively, then I don't see any issue with what Jamal Adams has done. And I'm not going to sit here and, you know, go crazy because he's on social media voicing his frustration. That's not going to exactly, you know, incite some type of rage inside of me.
800-919-3776. Let's go to your calls. Let's start with Jose in Garwood. Jose, you're up.
Hey, Anita, big Jets fan here. Been a Jets fan for a long time. I got to say, it's time for Jamal Adams to move on. He's not going to help us right now at the state that we're in. We could get value for him. And, you know, if you just don't want to be here, then, you know, you're better off instead of creating a bad culture.
Yeah, and Jose, thank you for your phone call, and that's fair. It's fair. You know, is he, what are your real, here's another thing. What are your realistic, you know, expectations for the Jets this season?
Make the playoffs. You add in an extra playoff spot in both conferences.
But do you really think they're going to make the playoffs, Ty?
It's not about whether I think they will. It's about, like, simply going into a season where you're expecting Darnold to have the best year of his career. Adam Gase getting more comfortable with the team. Greg Williams did an excellent job with that defense last year. Is the conversation, you know, about the Jets making the playoffs reasonable? Yes. Like, will they? I don't know, but they're certainly in the conversation, right?
See, I disagree. And, you know,
think they're far off?
I do. Like, I think I have the Bills winning the AFC East. So I have the Bills, the only team in the postseason in the AFC East. I have the Ravens and possibly the Cleveland Browns in the postseason for the AFC North, and possibly the Pittsburgh Steelers as that extra playoff team.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
But really quick, let me finish. AFC South, I have the Colts and possibly the Titans. And then in the AFC West, I have Kansas City. And I think people are sleeping on Denver. I know that's surprising, but their defense is just going to be so sick. And if Drew Lock can pick up where he left off, and they added a lot of talent in free agency and in the draft, drafting Jerry Jeudy, who I think the Jets should have drafted. I don't think the Jets get in.
So whoever the seventh seed is in the AFC, mm-hmm. What do you think their record is? 8-8.
I can't think of that off the top of my head.
So I'm just saying, what record?
So let's say the eighth team. Yes, let's just say we'll be 8-8. And okay. Like I said, I think the Jets will be lucky if they win six games this season.
So in theory, you have the Jets just two games off of making the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
Which means, I mean, they're in the conversation week 14, right? Or do you think they're just going to backdoor cover six wins? They'll enter the final 2 weeks of the season at, you know, four and ten, and then win the last 2 weeks, so they were never in it to begin with.
Let's look at their schedule, right?
Because I think they'll be in it. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but they certainly should be in that conversation. They should be in contention the last couple weeks of the season.
So they're at the Bills, which I think they lose. Then they're going up against the 49ers. They're at the Colts. They're against the Broncos, and then they're home against the Cardinals. So I think they start the season 0-4. And I think the first opportunity they have to win a game is against the Cardinals, which would make them 1-4. Then they're in Los Angeles at the Chargers. Then they're at the Bills again, Kansas City, the Patriots, at the Dolphins. So let's say by then, so that's 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, 1-8. So now they go up against the Dolphins twice. So let's say that makes them 2-8, 2-9. Let's say they split that. Then they're against the Raiders. I'll give them that game. It's home. So that's three wins. Then Seattle, the Rams, the Browns, and the Patriots. I think they'll be really lucky if they win six games.
Mm. All right. So we just fundamentally disagree on how good the team is and how good they can be. So I guess that's what it comes down to. But the point was, if Jamal Adams, you know, wants to win, it's probably not going to be with the Jets, because even at their peak this year, they're probably 2 years away from being a true contender. And that's two more years on his career. So he's going into year six and, you know, hasn't really competed for a championship yet. I can see how, why a player would be frustrated.
Let's go to, is it Jack in Rockland?
Jacques.
Oh, Jacques. I'm sorry. Oh, like Jacques Cousteau.
Yeah, just like Jacques Cousteau. How you doing?
I used to love that show.
That's cool. But Anita, oh my goodness, you're breaking my heart.
I'm sorry, you're a Jets fan?
Oh my goodness, 1-7? I think we have the best.
Time out. At the Bills, 49ers, yeah. At the Colts, Broncos, Cardinals, at the Chargers, Bills again, Kansas City, Patriots. The gauntlet.
You're being nostalgic because a lot of these teams don't have good quarterbacks anymore. You understand? And to be honest, I think Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in the AFC East if you want to really get technical, because, you know, Josh Allen still has a lot of work to do. So to say the Jets last season we owned the Bills at the end of the day. We beat them at the last game of the season, and we owned them for three quarters with Sam Darnold, with Mono, and T.J. Mosley going down in the third quarter. But, you know, it's kind of unfair, you know, to give the Bills so much credit.
They add Stephon Diggs. They added a slew of talent on the defensive side in regard to free agency.
I mean, but we had the number seven defense in the league last year with so many people on IR. You understand?
And your best defensive player now doesn't want to be here.
Let me get to Jamal, all right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's under contract. And, you know, it's been said, homie just said it before, in regard to being under contract. Now, with that situation, it's not like the Jets don't want to pay him. It's just the timing is wrong. You know, if he waits till next season, he'll definitely get all the $17 million per year he wants and, you know, the big guaranteed money. And, you know, to be honest, you know, being in the position he's in right now, he should get paid more money. You know, he's one of the great safeties in the league right now. And if he's just patient, if we have money left over, if there's nobody else picked up in, you know, the next, you know, couple of months, then, you know, we could restructure a contract for him and add another $7 million to his deal so he could, you know, be, you know, a little bit, you know, higher paid right now, and then next season we could really up him up with a long-term deal.
But I hear you, and you make and Jacques, you may, and thank you for the phone call. You make a lot of sense, but this isn't a dude who wants to be patient right now. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and you know, defend Jamal Adams, but if you feel and I'm sure he feels he's the best safety in the NFL or top three. Would you play in a pandemic world for $3.6 million? Marinate in that. If you feel that you are the best safety or top three in the NFL, would you play this season in the NFL for $3.6 million?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.